Music Mothers and Others comes to you from our bedrooms, lounge rooms and homes during coronavirus times. We do all of our recordings via the internet, so please excuse the pops and crackles in this episode.
Music.
Mothers.
And Others.
Somewhere in the music industry, between sex, drugs and rock and roll, and the Wiggles, is the rest of us. Music Mothers and Others is an audio parents group about popular music, a chance to discuss how parenting fits or doesn't into music industry life. During the series, we'll talk to people from across the industry, artists, promoters, techs, broadcasters, writers, academics, teachers, anyone who has a gig in industry, whatever that means. Your hosts are Liz.
Hello.
And Shelley. Hi, that's me. And we are industry veterans, academics and parents, as well as members of the broader village.
Today, our Music Mothers and Others guests are Matt O'Kine and KLP, Christy Lee Peters. Their album, Welcome to Diver City, takes us on a day in the life journey, put down with an EDM bed. Get your glow sticks and get ready. It's nice to talk to you, Matt and Christy. Hello.
I love that. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Would you guys just tell us a bit how you came to work together? Was it the Triple J connection that kind of got you there, or did you meet in a, you know, in a park, in a mosh pit? How did you guys come to work together in the first place?
Well, we've certainly been in all of those places. I remember we were working at Triple J, and Christy started work at Triple J as well, probably a few months after I started. Slowly but organically built up a really nice friendship, and then we became friends outside of Triple J, and then we ended up getting pregnant 5 days apart, and when we both had babies so close together, and both being musical, and both just really loving the art, you know, the artistry of it all, creating and performing, mm-hmm. and just putting ourselves out there, we decided to turn it into a thing.
Awesome. Christy, is there anything to add? Have we missed like a drunken, you know, D&M or something? Is that about it?
Oh, look, there's been quite a few wines. I think before Matt and I had kids, there was a regular time when it would be Matt, his partner, myself, my partner, and Veronica Milsom, also mm-hmm. used to work at Triple J, and her partner, and none of us had kids, and we'd kind of meet every few weeks at each other's house and have some drinks. It turned into a rather late night. It's very different now. We meet at each other's house with kids everywhere at about, I think we met at 9 a.m. last time.
We used to finish at 9 a.m. and now we're starting at 9 a.m. It's embarrassing. But
it's very different. But it's also really nice when I guess you have friends that are going through the same thing you're going through and at the same stage in your life, especially becoming new parents, because as you both would know, it's crazy. Yeah. So having mates that you can kind of share those experiences with and also create something out of that is pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I guess that jump though from like youth culture stuff to really young youth cultures. How did you decide to do that? Like, was it Christy, because you're, and forgive me if I've got this wrong, but Christy, you're much more of a muso than Matt is in terms of how you'd built your career up until that point. You know, Matt, I know you as a writer and as a comedian more than a musician. Is that about right? Is that how you approach things?
Look, I like to think I'm a comedian, but Matt's the comedian. He likes to think he's the muso, but I'm the muso. That's pretty much how it is. I mean, Matt is one of those people that annoyingly can do anything that he sets his mind to. So he does do music as well as comedy. And then look, I'm not a comedian, let's be real, but I do lots of music stuff. And I actually did a bunch of music when I was a kid as well, doing children-centered shows and singing on kids' albums. My dad is actually a musician, so I've kind of grown up just doing all types of things. So it doesn't even seem like such a step away for me. It's almost like something I've always wanted to do. And then it was actually Matt's partner, Belinda, that let it slip that Matt also had the children's music idea in his head. I think I had mentioned it one time and she said, oh, don't don't let him know that I told you, but Matt wants to make kids music too. And then of course I just went straight to him and was like, all right, I know you want to make a kids album. Let's do it.
Awesome. And when you went from there to who goes next, were you writing together or swapping concepts together? How did the actual Diversity concept come out?
Well, we went away for a little while. We went away for on a little family holiday up to Byron Bay, and it was our kind of first trip mm-hmm. away as two families. And mm-hmm. we'd previously just talked about it a little bit more seriously, you know, oh, we should do this, we should do this. And then eventually it was like, I think I literally called it a writing workshop because I was going to try and get some sort of tax breaks out of it.
Liz and I love the tax break.
It's the only reason we talk about our kids, right? We can claim them on our tax. That's why we're here, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know whether that actually eventuated because we didn't do as much writing on that trip as the tax man probably would have expected us to. but we did actually talk about it, you know, and Christie's, you know, was like, well, go on, what's your ideas, what do you got, you know. And I remember, I think one of the first songs I did was a song I talked to her about, was a song where I'd been like doing little bum pats for my daughter, trying to settle her, mm-hmm. you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know, is doing bum pats okay, or is it considered a bad thing?
No.
I pat my baby's bottoms. That both my babies get bum pats, so we're in it together if we do.
Yeah. We call it a pat and a shush. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Giving us some little bum pats. And the song, and her nickname was Bibio before we knew what we were having, a boy or a girl. It's a Ghanaian word for small. Mm-hmm. And it was the name that I used to, you know, give our daughter when she was still in the womb. And so the song went like, Bibby bum pats, Bibby bum pats, Bibby bum pats, Bibby bum pats, Bibby bum pats. Anyways, it goes on like that. And literally it was just me repeating that over and over and over again. And Christy was like, okay, well, look, we're going to need to change that. Well, we can't call them Bibby because not everyone's called Bibby. So we'll change to baby and then we'll just say hand claps. And then it turned into knee stomps and toe tickles and everything. And it just sort of, like, yeah, it just turned into a little song. And that's kind of how all of the songs happened, right, Christy?
Yeah, they were all songs or topics that we were experiencing. Mm. So, I mean, there's another song called Walk Around the Block that Matt, again, kind of came up with that idea because, you know, when his daughter was losing it and you needed to kind of walk it off and go for a walk around the room or a walk around the block or walk around the world, walk up to the stars. There was that. There were other things about getting dressed or, you know, taking a bath. One of the more recent ones is about sharing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I could play that song to Sienna on repeat and I don't think she's quite at that concept yet because she still stands in front of a slide going, mine! But they all kind of came from things that were going on that we were experiencing with our kids at the time.
You know, it's funny because, like, it's sort of described, and we've described it as a day in the life of, you know, a day in the life of a parent and a child and that relationship and the routine and stuff. But if you actually analyzed each song or looked into each song really closely, it's actually probably more a year in the life of, because it starts off with really basic stuff. You know, there are songs that we wrote at the beginning, like we're just going to walk around the block to calm you down. There's, you know, washing arms and legs or like that song, Bibby Bum Pats, which turned into Bibby Hand Claps. And then and then as we've watched our daughters grow and their leaps that they've taken, we've matched the themes to them. So suddenly we're talking about sharing and emotions and, you know, a bit more complicated concepts. So I'm excited to see, because this is the only the first installment, I'm really excited to see. Like, I feel like I don't know what's going to happen with Diversity next or where we're going to take the themes in the album.
Yeah, maybe you'll be led by the kids. Maybe the kids will be the ones that will spark the next songs due to their development, you know, their cognitive development, the things that they're into.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know? And I think we've already had some friends hit us up and other musos saying, hey, I sing this to my kid all the time and it really works to get them to do this, or it works to get them to understand this. So, you know, we're open to that and seeing where it goes.
Yeah, in that way, would you like to say that the album is for both parents and kids, or just for kids, or how would you categorise it?
I think from the get-go, the intention was to try and make music that was for kids, but also the parents, because as a parent, you end up listening to the same music your kid does over and over and over and over and over again. And I thought if there was a way to have something sound sonically a little more like the music I would choose to listen to. So with children's concepts and children's lyrics, but maybe the sounds, the drums and the bass sound a little cooler and I might enjoy listening to it. I mean, once you listen to it 10 times in a row, you just don't enjoy listening to anything because you're over it. So it's, but at least it's another option out there.
Yeah.
And that took a little bit of time as well because, you know, we when we first had meetings with ABC Music, who we're working on the album with, they were sort of saying, you know, oh, I don't know about this particular song. You know, sonically, it's not necessarily going to work for a kid. And we were kind of like, oh, whatever. Like, we like it. We'll do it. But as we got an understanding of what sounds right, Christy, like, you really started getting a firm grip on why they were saying things like that, right?
Yeah. You know, a bit of the feedback at first was it sounded too much like pop music and too, you know, too many bangers, which a part of me was like, great, that's, you know, that's what I want because I want it to sound different to other kids' music out there.
Yeah, how could that be a negative though? Surely you want your kids to know about bangers.
It, you know, it sounds different. So it's hard, you know, like any record label, if you're trying to release a new Taylor Swift album or something, but it sounds very different to stuff out there, it can be hard because different is scary and unknown territory. So if we're making something that sounds a little different to what else is out there already, people can kind of go, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. But to me, that was almost slightly exciting. I didn't want to push it too hard. So there were certain elements that I brought back. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to create beats that sounded cool. And I think it is possible to have that sound sonically, but then with children's lyrics. My daughter will dance to anything if it's up loud and she's in the right mood. So I kind of was like, no, I feel like this will work. And I feel like it's another option that we can provide to parents and their kids.
For sure. For sure.
A friend of someone we chatted to on the radio a couple of days ago kind of talked about one of the songs, which is Upside Down Frown. And he was like, you know, I could see this being played at Splendor in the Grass at 4 a.m. at the TP Forest kind of thing. And I was like, yes, it should be. Like, we should definitely be hitting them up to play Splendor because that's exactly how well what we make does broach the kind of adult and child.
Do you know that Liz was making that observation about Upside Down?
Yeah,
Frown,
I was thinking Big Day Out in Lily Pad. So it's been a while since I've been out of the house. But exactly the same thing.
I'm Christy from Diver City and you're listening to Music Mothers and Others. Song ideas almost come out like this crazy word vomit that just comes out, and the lyrics and the melodies just appear. And so a few of the songs, and that's what it's like if I'm writing music for myself or for other people, and a few of the songs on the album were like that, including Upside Down Frown. I had the melody in the line, turn your frown upside down, wiggle your chin till you grin. I just had that one day. I just kind of, I was like, oh, that's the thing. And so I'd send that to Matt as a voice memo. And then I also had the same bit, because we've got feelings in our bodies, feelings. And I wanted it to feel like a big chant.
Yeah, yeah. This is hands up in the air. This is a boogie time. Yeah.
Just that idea of like, it's okay to feel these feelings. And I don't know, it's kind of cool that people are imagining that now in an adult setting such as Splendor.
I mean, you mentioned, you asked before about like, how do you cross the demos, I guess, you know, do you make adult music for kids music? And I've always, the more I do anything, create anything, it's just like, I just try not to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, because you're making music for people, aren't you? You're making music for people. There could be small people. There could be grown-up people. The pragmatist probably in you goes, this is an industry. There are markets. We are governed by labels, or we're governed by charts, or we're governed by the way the music is distributed out there and how people imagine it. And that even goes down to your album artwork, the clothes that you might wear. You know, you're pitching to a particular demographic in a way. But I suppose that when you're creating, you're just making music, or you're making music that comes from when you're hanging out with your kids.
Yeah, well, you just want it to be a cool song, and cool melodies and rhythm transcend any genre, because hopefully that I could add other lyrics to, and it could be a rock song or something. So yeah, I guess it's kind of cool that you're talking about that. I feel like we've done a good job. But even with artwork or something, I had no idea how that would come together, but that was actually Matt's partner that did all of the artwork, and she did such an amazing job. She came to us almost like this pitch, because she's a friend as well, and obviously Matt's partner, and she'd done all of this work and had come to us saying, okay, I've researched all of this children's artwork. And I had said, I want it to be children's artwork, but I would love to be able to put the logo of Diver City on a T-shirt and feel like I would wear it as an adult as well, if that's possible. Is it possible to do that? And she sent us the logo of Diver City, which is like the letters and the sun. And she sent it to me, and straight away I was like, oh my gosh, I need this on a T-shirt. Like, I want to wear this. Yeah. I want to wear this.
Yeah.
You've nailed it. I don't know how you've done it, but you've nailed it. And she did all the artwork and all of those designs and things. Like, I would pull out and put on something. Like, I think they're actually quite cool.
Well, that makes me think, actually, are you guys super cool muso parents? Like, are you dressing your kids in band T-shirts that you love, that, you know, happen to come in itty bitty sizes? Like, have you got the ABCD, ACDC punned, onesies for your kids? Like, What kind of branding are you doing for your own musical tastes?
I will tell you right now, if it was up to me, my daughter would be dressing in onesies day in, day out, and that's it. I'm a really unfashionable dad. My partner is so much better at dressing our daughter, and I just don't get it. And but Christy, every time I see Sienna, Christy's daughter, I'm just like, oh man, you have got style, kid. Like, she's always dressed up.
She has some crazy outfits, but she also, I try and let her choose now. I'll hold two things up so that she can choose. But today, like, I'd love to say no, but I think she's actually wearing a David Bowie T-shirt.
It's the best. It's the best. My daughter's in Elton John today. Don't worry about it.
She has, like, a Snoop Dogg baseball cap and stuff. She would have no idea what it is.
I love dressing up my daughter too. But a four-year-old has a particular kind of will that sometimes you can't handle at 6 a.m. when you're like, just put something on, get out of those PJs. But what does it make you feel when you're putting your kids in clothes that, obviously you buy, and, they're showing musical icons, or they're displaying a style that reflects a musical taste of yours? Is it like about a sharing process, or is it just like, I think these clothes are cute in size one, but you're wearing it?
I feel like it used to be way more of, I dress her. Obviously, you choose how to dress your child. But my partner, Nick, he loves, it's interesting because I'll dress her in, T-shirts and shorts and things, and he will always put her in dresses, and which is really cute. But recently, as her personality is being developed, and let me tell you, she's very she's full of character at one and a half, and we kind of talk about it now, and we were doing this photo shoot the other day with a bunch of friends, and we were like, oh, what are we gonna, just for fun, and we were like, what are we gonna dress her in? And then we were both kind of like, oh, should I buy a cute dress for her? And we went, no, I feel like that's not her personality now. Like, she's almost dictating her style already from the things that she points to and chooses. And she does love wearing accessories. So she's constantly got necklaces around her. She'll kind of steal a necklace off my mum, and then she'll come home from a stay at Nonna's wearing these, like, big chain necklaces and things.
That's very hip hop.
Yeah. My I guess my in terms of fashion with our daughter, my dad and I both went to Ghana when my partner was pregnant, and you know, my dad is from Ghana, and I love seeing my daughter dressed up in like the African dresses and the African onesies, the sort of kente cloth style of West African garments that, that people dress in over there, and seeing little baby dresses like that and her in a little toddler onesie that's all beautiful and colorful and these bright yellow and green and red patterns. I get a really kind of proud sense of connection and family and heritage that way.
Super sweet. Can I just ask you, Bibio, the actual song Bibio, is that a song you made up or is that a nursery rhyme you were mentioning?
No, that's a song I made up.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, okay. That was a song. That was probably the first song that I wrote, and sung for my daughter, because she was still in the womb when I wrote that. And I would wake up on Saturday mornings. It's funny because I had two songs when she was just hadn't been born yet. And one was a song from the Dora the Explorer movie, because when my partner was pregnant, I had to fly up to the Gold Coast a bunch of times to be in the Dora the Explorer film. And so I play as a music teacher there. And one of the things I had to learn for the final scene was this song that goes, "Whoa, we came together, that's a real treasure, oh." Anyways, and I have to learn little bits of Spanish for this song, and I remember learning it over and over again, and so that I would remember how to sing it, I would jokingly started singing it into my partner's stomach, you know, to our child at the time. Because that came a little bit of a tradition, I guess every Saturday we'd do it, I wrote just the next song was Bibio, that was just a really simple little tribute to our, you know, my favorite little mate in the world. And so, and that's something that I just kept singing over and over again until she's her age now. And it's really sweet. It's something that you know, that was something for me where I thought, oh, is it too, I was like, is it too personal to put on the album, you know, for everyone? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, well, no, because I think it's how so many parents feel about their babies when they look at them before they've even met them and all that sort of stuff. And also it's going to be there forever. And it's a little hark back to her Ghanaian heritage.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it just sums up everything for me that being a new parent is.
No, it's gorgeous. And it's true, isn't it? Like if this was not a kid's album, dare I say it, it'd be no problem to say this is a song I wrote for somebody I love. But it's weird, like in this context, you know, in this context, it's almost like there's new rules, but there doesn't have to be, you know, it's super strange.
And it's something that it's just something that, I really, really love it. And, but I'm also surprised by how much Sophia loves the album as well. I know that sounds silly, but you know, you're kind of nervous and you don't necessarily think that your own, like when I write a comedy show, I'm aware that my partner might not think it's the best thing in the world. Like I know that everyone has different tastes and opinions. So I was kind of like, yeah, look, I'm sure what we've written is great, but I won't be surprised if my daughter specifically does not love it. You know, maybe she's just a Emma Wiggles person and that's just it. And that's fine. But she really loves it. And she asks to play it now. And it's kind of like, oh, can we not?
Does she know that that's Dad singing on the CD?
Well, I've written a few other songs before. I made a joke song about a vacuum cleaner on for the radio show that I do, the podcast that I do with Alex Dyson. And she loves it. And she asked to play that song. And because it's on Spotify, you see when she clicks on the screen, mine and Alex's face comes onto the screen every single time. And she says, "Dad," every single time. So she does know. And she sees me and Christy. And she would even walk into our bedroom when Belle, my partner, was making the album art, and she'd walk in and go, "Dad," and she knows Diver City, and so I think that she does get it. But we also have a cookbook at home which has been sitting on like a table, and she always opens it up, and it's a cookbook of a show that I hosted, so she always like opens it up and she'll see me on a page and go, "Dad." And it's kind of like, I'm wondering when the day will be whether she understands what like all this means, like why she even sees me in these places. Because it might be a really nice day, but it also might be quite a sad day if she's like, "Oh, what's this all about? I wish we could just go down the street without weirdos, you know, people, you know, asking, doing stuff, you know, pointing at me or anything like that."
She'll be like,
"I don't mean to call everyone weirdos."
Dad, you're so uncool.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? She'd be like, oh, there's stupid cooking shows on TV and everyone at school is making fun of me. And I'm like, oh. You know, that sort of thing.
We ask the people we're talking to answer the phrase, the kids and I are listening to. And it started because Shelley and I were listening to stuff with our kids that wasn't kids' music but had been co-opted. So, you know, for us it was we both went kind of 90s and stuff that you could bear to hear again and again. So I was listening to No Rain by Blind Melon because I could just hear it again and again and again, you know. And so, you know, or we have Billy Joel and, you know, just stuff that's not traditionally kids' stuff but they've taken over now. So do you guys have something that the kids and you are listening to that is, apart from your own stuff as well, that is being played in your household?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, the kids and I are listening to this French radio station called FIP, and we have it on quite a lot just as background music, and a lot of the time it's jazz or classical music, and sometimes they do these really random covers of, say, Queen or even Drake. Yeah, but I kind of love it. And then there's not much talking, but when they do talk, it's this, I'm not going to attempt to do a French accent here, but it's this beautiful French language, and she'll kind of stop and just listen and then tune out again. So yeah, I don't know if that can count.
That counts.
Of course it can.
Amazing. Yeah.
Of course.
We haven't heard any answers like that before, have we, Liz?
No, we haven't. Matt, what about you?
I had a playlist set up that we would listen to every day because it would help Sophia get to sleep. But there's also one called Bangers for Bibby, which is all the sort of fun sort of party tracks that we listen to. Like, so she loves Benny or Super Lonely. She loves Hayden James, Right Time. But the thing that we connect, that I really love watching or listening to, is Bruce Springsteen is on both of those playlists. Streets of Philadelphia is on the sleep one and Dancing in the Dark is in the other one. And, you know, I listened to Bruce Springsteen's music through my mum. She used to listen to it. And my mum passed away when I was 12. And so I have a deep connection and miss, you know, sadness about that. And, you know, I miss her obviously a lot. To see Sophia and to have that feel, that connection with her grandmother, who she'll never get to meet and never get to know, it's a really nice thing to experience as a parent, to have that connection to your parent through your child.
It's beautiful.
Great
That's
story.
It's the end of another episode of Music Mothers and Others. Thanks so much to our guests, Matt O'Kine and Christy Lee Peters from Diver City. Music, Mothers and Others is a show written and produced by Liz Dufresne and Shelley Brunt. We're broadcast on Sydney's 2SER on 107.3 FM and we are also a podcast. Find our episodes on all your usual services such as Apple and Spotify or our website, musicmothersandothers.com. We'd love you to leave a review. It would make it easier for other people to find us. Feel like getting in touch? Want to know who our next guests are? Visit us on Facebook and Instagram and leave us a message. See you next time.